Then they sit until nearly die. Okay? When you come to know this through right thinking, right contemplation, you realize death is coming near me now. And then through right thinking, right contemplation, you are like also the good horse, you see. You only have to use the two legs, you know, the owner, they sit on the horse, they use the two heels, they just grip their belly, the horse belly. The horse got a kick on the belly, there's some pain there, and the horse should off and run. So they say, this is still a good horse, a third type of good horse. And then the Buddha said, now there's the fourth type of good horse. Okay, in certain village, certain young men, certain men, certain women, they are sick until nearly dying. And when you hear this news, through right thinking, right contemplation, then you think, oh, death is coming near me now. Okay, then how? It is like the horse rider on the horseback, and the horse rider is sticking his heel into the belly, and the heel is touching his bone. Understand? Because in the belly we all have, we got bone here, our ribs are here. Horse also same, they also very big ribs there. And the heels are touching the ribs, boom! The horse got a pain and he starts shooting off and running. So these are the four types of good horses. Okay. So you think which type of horse you are. Alright, so now we will go to very basic one. I only explain through my own understanding. Like the way I learned from my teacher, first you seek refuge. When you seek refuge with a monk, and the monk will explain to you the meaning of refuge. What's the refuge of the Buddha and Dhamma and the Sangha. And then immediately after the refuge, the monk will tell you you have to follow these five rules. Okay, the five rules is no killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, and no lying, and no intoxicant. These are the five rules we have to follow. Now you look at the Christian Ten Commandments. They have ten. Of course, these ten are also revolve around these five. So Buddhism and their rules is very similar. Not much different. Except that we simplify it, you know, into only five rules. And this is given by the Buddha. Is it just like Sakyamuni Buddha? No. All the Buddha. You know? Whatever Buddha you can mention the name, the Buddha giving you the rules will be these five rules. They will not make up new rules. Because why? Human behaviors are like that. These five rules is enough to tame that wild horse. The unruly mind. It's enough to tame the wild horses. So that is why when we have taken refuge, we have to take up the rules, and the rules train to help you to train yourself. And my experience also like that. When I was a lay person still running the business, I asked my teacher to give me five rules. And after I tried the five rules, and I asked him, is there any more than that? Yes, I am different from that. So I say, teacher, he said the five rules, that's all. He said, no, there are eight rules. Oh, I said, what is the eight rules? Tell me. He said, no killing. I said, yes, sir. No stealing. I said, yes, sir. He said, no sex. Oh, I said, well, no sex. Cannot sleep with a wife. I said, yes, I can do it. No sex. Then, next, no lying. Yeah, it's the same. No intoxicants. Yeah, same. And then he said, no food after chore. I say, oh, well, that's a little bit difficult. Or he said, this is a Buddha's rule. Then next one he said, no music, no singing and dancing, no shows, no watching the show. I said, oh, well, I can. I think I can. Then last one he said, no sleeping on high bed. I said, well, no problem, just sit on the floor. Just put a mattress down, put on the floor. What's so difficult about that? So I took the eight rules when I was a lay person. Okay, so it depends on how you want to run. You want to be the number one horse, you know, coming in the Melbourne Cup. Okay, you run faster, then you'll be the number champion horse. Like that. And then Buddha say, besides this, what else you can train yourself? Oh, you have to learn to meditate. And this is what my teacher gave me this picture for. He didn't explain to me. But see, this is something, you know, is a little bit hard to explain using conventional words. But I suppose, you know, if my teacher, he was a monk, not just this lifetime. He has been a monk for more than 10 lifetimes. So he has some very good training himself. So I suppose he might have got some supernatural power, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But anyway, what causes this kind of clairvoyance is due to meditation. Why? Because meditation cleans the mind, makes the mind pure. So you have this kind of power. But don't get me wrong, meditation, the aim is not from this. Meditation is to purify ourselves. So the mind is clear, you can see the truth yourself. So, next training. My teacher didn't teach me. Okay, I learned it when I was in Thailand, and I also went to Burma, and I learned from various teachers. The training of wisdom that you have to learn. The training of wisdom these days is very prevalent in the West. Especially teaching about Vipassana. They are very, very popular. Lots of people jump onto this wagon and hope straight away they become Buddha instantly. No such thing, I can tell you. You know, don't you think, oh, I go to Goenka's 10-day meditation, intensive meditation, at the end of it I become a Buddha. No, don't get it wrong. There is no such thing. Understand? No such thing. Don't think I jump onto the wagon this quick path and I will become able to cultivate the wisdom and I become realized. No. If you have not done the ground floor, you have not done the second floor, how are you going to build the third floor? How are you going to build a building? There's no way you can build a building that way. You have to do the ground floor, which is your morality, training or precept. Then you do your second floor, which is your training or meditation. Then you will get to the third floor. That's all. That's the simplest way I can explain to you. And my experience is also like that. If you have not done your training in precept, you don't talk about trying to meditate. No way, you can't meditate. If you have not done your precept and meditation, you want to become enlightened. No way. There's no way. Okay. So don't get it wrong. You have to master the right view, not about this thing. So therefore, then now here finally, before I end up, okay. And Buddha say, I just want to mention about the four levels of holy person in the Buddhist system is Buddha says in order to attain this first one, you require four elements. Number one, you must meet the right teacher. Okay? Very important. If you meet the wrong teacher, you finish. And you end up wrong path. So, who is the right teacher? I don't know. You have to open your eye and see for yourself. Anyway, second one, Buddha says, when you meet the right teacher, next, you listen to his teaching or her teaching, to see whether it's really a Buddha teaching or his or her own teaching. Now how am I going to check? You have to check with the recorded text. Oh wow, recorded text is too much for me to read. And how? Easy. These days with the Google, very easy one. You know? Yeah, I'm telling you, very easy with the Google. Just whatever this monk or the nun say, into the Google search window, type it in there and see what comes up. If it comes up tally with the recorded text, oh fine, this man or nun is saying the right thing, okay, good. You're lucky. It doesn't match or well, I think you better think twice. Third, Buddha says, Then after you listen to the right teaching, then you, with this teaching, you sit down and think about it. What does it mean? Dependent origination. If you started with avidya, ignorance, and then followed by sankhara, you know, karma formation. Why is it like that? Ah, this you have to think. How? You have to study and you have to think about yourself. Of course, there are some monks written books on this. You can read. Okay? It will help you to do right thinking. And then, fourth, with the faith. Then, understanding this, you follow the step and practice. Don't jump. Don't think, oh, that wagon is running fast. Jump over. No, don't you think that. If you jump over, you might fall down. You will not be able to save yourself. You don't think you will arrive there quicker. You have to do it step by step. There is no quick path. Don't think about this so many Zen traditions. Instantly, after hearing something, after hearing some Quran or something, instantly realize enlightened. No. That person has been practicing many lifetimes before. That's why when that person reached that stage after hearing such and such monks or such and such teaching, and the person realized, that's all it is. I can explain it. So now, finally, okay, to summarize it, Buddha says, the whole practice we are doing is trying to destroy ignorance. That's the first in the dependent origination. Trying to destroy ignorance. To put it in the more detail, then Buddha says, you have to practice Samantha and Vipassana. And then to explain further, Buddha says, you have to practice Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. That is morality, meditation, and wisdom training. Then, to talk it in a more detail, then Buddha talked about this on the fourth step. Meet the right teacher, hear the teaching, contemplation, and follow your training step by step. And, or in detail, say, practice your mindfulness, Maha Satipatthana, the four mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. And into more detail, Buddha says, train the five roots and gaining the five power. And then realizing the seven factors of enlightenment. And then doing the Eightfold Noble Path. Then to talk in more detail, then Buddha says, Bodhyanga. 37 steps in the Bodhyanga. Bodhyanga means, how do I explain it? Bodhyanga. Bodhyanga means, the factors of enlightenment. Okay, the factors of enlightenment is 7, but this Bodhyanga is also a factor of enlightenment. There are 37 of it. This is the most detailed of all. Since there are mentioned about 4 mindfulness, 4 right effort, 4 miraculous power, 5 root and 5 power, 7 factors of enlightenment, and 8 noble power. I mean, you add all these numbers together, you get 37. So this is how the path. So in the priority in life, in my opinion, is you can set about your go about and setting your own priority in life. Do it. And you achieve that, definitely. Like myself, I did that and I achieved that. But you will come to a point, I mean it depends on individual, your past life, parami. Parami means perfection. You come to a point and whereby you have to make a very hard decision about how to change my direction of life and reset my priority in life. Then, in my opinion, is if a person can spend their time, some time at least, if you are saying, okay, I would still like to carry on my business, I would still like to become a millionaire, but I also like to learn a little bit about Buddhism. Fine. You can do that, you know, and you probably have the best of all worlds, okay, but I think it won't be a very fast path. But in myself, I think becoming a monk is a lot faster, but don't get this wrong also. By becoming a monk, like myself or Pante here, I can tell you it's not easy, right? Very difficult, especially in the West. Very difficult to live as a monk. It is a healthy no problem. When we are sick, we are stuck. We are in big trouble. I remember 2 years ago, I brought my student over from Malaysia to here. And I was sick because in the Northern Territory, in the dry season, the weather is changed. It's just a winter here, but it's very cool. And different bugs is floating around. So, I got flu. Then I only had Medicare card. So I went and see the doctor, pay with the Medicare card. Okay, fine. But, doctor then gave me a prescription. I had to go to the clinic. My goodness, you know how much it cost me? More than $70. I have no money to pay for it. That's where the trouble comes. Oh well, I think now, how? I think better to die, I say. Dying is cheaper than to buy medicine. That's the half that you have to face. By becoming a monk or a nun. Why? Because we have no income. Very, very tough. But then you see something, you're building a temple. It's more money you've got. It's not my money. These are the money given by the faithful for the temple. Nothing for us. We don't get a pension. I go to Sandaling. Sandaling refuse to help us. I can't even get a dole. I can't get my pension. I'm too young. I'm still 3 years short to qualify for pension. And they're trying to postpone the pension age now to 67. Oh my goodness, I think, oh well, I think I better die. See, that's my dilemma I'm facing as a monk. So it's very tough. But I do not want to demoralize you at this juncture, because still I find plenty of, what should I say, satisfaction as a monk. You know, it's not because I able to travel around. I don't pay. They pay for it. They help me to get my journey here. But I don't really envy that, because it's very hard work. It's not easy. So which is why I would say, stay where you are as a lay person, work, but don't let your eyes keep away from Buddhism if you can. You know, from time to time, make sure you follow Buddha, even on the edge of it. Not just on the edge. And until such a time, you think you can make the switch. But I do not think many people can make the switch. Now, you can be a Buddhist as a whole life, as a lay person, this is fine, very good. I've seen many very good examples. As a lay person, they have family. They live their life as a Buddhist and they're very happy. They're happy because they live a life contented. And they live a contemplative life. And therefore they have not much desire. And they just live their life peacefully. That is very important thing in life, I think. Rather than to have a busy life. Busy life and full of desire, and you are always desiring more and more, and you are always greedy, then you will end up having more suffering. And that's really not good. It's not a good solution for life. So, I would like to say at this point, thank you for coming. Would you like to ask any question?
Maybe we have a cup of tea
for
people, so maybe if they have a cup of tea
and they can think of something. Okay, thank you. Okay. So let me say the prayer. May this dedication of this merit of teaching the Dharma at this place here at St. Clinton University and this Oasis. May this merit be dedicated to all, and may all beings share in this merit, and may they rejoice in our effort in coming to this Dharma discussion. Sadhu. Thank you.